Hello and welcome to Home Life for Extraordinary Impact. My name is Matt Barrios. I'm a husband, dad, researcher, and writer, and I'm doing global research on people's homes. I'm interviewing experts and everyday people all around the world to help understand what does it look like for you to set up your home so that it's a place of meaningful personal growth, ongoing connection with the people that you love, and also sets you up to make a great impact in the world around you. That's what I'm doing, and for it, I get to talk to some really, really fun and interesting people. And today, I get to talk to Tova. And Tova and I connected a while back, and you know, we just hit it off. I just love her energy, and she's currently based in Israel, and we got to chat a lot about that before, and I'm excited to now do it on a recording. So thank you, Tova, for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so glad to talk with you. So I guess a quick jumping off question, in a show that is all about helping people set up their homes to make a great impact on the world around them. How do you like to set up your home to encourage a good impact?
So I really look for ways to arrange my spaces and think about my spaces so that they're highly functional. And that's really because we live in Jerusalem, which is a city in Israel, which has a real estate and space crisis going on right now at the moment. Wow. Everybody here lives in, if you compare, let's say, to the United States, everybody here lives in much smaller apartments or smaller houses in general. So space is really at a premium. I used to live in New York City. I grew up in New York City, so I was used to that when I came here. Everybody knows that in Manhattan, people are like having children and making them sleep in drawers or in bathtubs or whatnot, you know. But here it's, my kids don't sleep in a bathtub, but like we have a lot of space constraints. And I live with my husband and our three kids and our dog in an apartment, which is, I want to say it's 100 meters. So how many afterwards you can figure out how many feet that is. I don't know how many feet that is, but it's like not.
I feel like big. My math brain is like turned off at this moment to figure that out.
Is it multiplied by three?
Something like that.
I don't know. It's something like that. Yeah. So
That's not very small. 300 square feet. That's not very large.
It's not very large, but I don't know if it's 300 square feet. I need to figure it out, but it's small. Everybody can imagine in their mind a small kind of setup. Yeah. And so it really forces you to think very critically about like every little meter, right? Like every little meter, like what goes in there. And like, what is the function of each kind of zone at any given time? So like we have, two working parents who sometimes work from home, right? So we have a spare room that's also a guest room that has a table here that I'm working on. And then we also have a little fold-out table that if you need to use the other bedroom to work, you fold out the table and then you kind of like set up yourself as well. So it's kind of enables everybody to do what they need. And in addition to that, like we've squeezed in one desk for each child, even if it's small, that also kind of helps kind of like make the place functional for like each person that needs it to function. And I really look at things as like, I look at Pinterest and then purposely forget all about it because I found from living in different places that like, if you have a design sense and you really want things to look nice, that's one thing. But then once it comes to the actual proportions of your home, like some certain things just don't work out. And so you can't beat yourself up that it like didn't look like the Pinterest version of like whatever it was
that you were
looking at. So it's kind of like, and I don't know, I noticed that you interview a lot of designers and artists. So like, I don't know how many people would understand this reference, but it's kind of like when you learn to draw, right? Like you learn about all the proportions of everything and then you're supposed to forget all of it so that you can make your own creation, right? Like that learning and forgetting. Yeah. So like when I think about designing the house, I think about learning and forgetting. Like I'll look at things on Pinterest that like work for whatever setup that was. And I'd be like, all right, forget about that now. And like, look at the space in front of you and just like figure out how to zone the space and like arrange the furniture for like what it is that works for
that
us.
That That makes a ton of sense to me because there is such a customization step required with your own home and its proportions and people and function. And it's almost as if like you look at Pinterest and it's like a mood board, right? Like, oh, this is just some, it reminds me of a certain feeling or certain colors or what have you. And yeah, that sounds actually like a helpful way to approach it versus thinking, oh, I need to do this DIY project. Like I saw one on Instagram the other day that's like,
People who don't have a lot of experience like setting up homes or designing homes, like they will do that. They'll go on Pinterest, look for ideas, they'll like say, oh, I want that thing, right? This thing, and I want it to do this, and I want that, right? And then they'll come to their own house and they'll try and do that. And then you get things that don't always, like, they don't always make sense, right? Like it.
Exactly. Like, yeah, this video I saw the other day, it was like people restored some like school lockers. And they made it like an entryway thing. It looked really beautiful, honestly. Like I was like, man, this is very impressive, and they did a great job with this. And also, I'm imagining doing that in our house, which like is not large either, you know. And it's like it would take up so much space. It's like we need to kind of have like a country home basically to pull off something like that. And and you know. So all that to say, like I hear what you're saying about the importance of this step of really considering the function and constraints of your environment. And it is sounding so much like a design way of approaching this stuff. And I know that is your work, your life is in product and UX design. And so I'm curious, are there other ways that that mindset has influenced the way that you think about home?
Yeah, I think one habit or one tip that I can share that during COVID really sharpened it for me, and now I do this all the time, my husband does this all the time, is that we all wish we could have a nice home office, right? And we all wish that, don't we all wish that we could have a nice home office for everyone in the house that needs to work, right? Like I would have my own office, he would have his own office. When my mom comes to visit and sleep here, she would have her own office to work in, because when she comes here, she also works from home, right? Like if you think about all these things and they all add up, it's like, again, it goes back to like, yeah, I saw on Pinterest all these great ideas for a home office, but what if that home office actually has to be a WeWork because there's four different adults that have to work in their own time? What if it looks very
Exactly.
different from that? And who can afford four home offices and have them be flexible so that different times of the year, different, like my parents, for example, like they come and they visit from New York, like sometimes for 3 weeks at a time, right? And it's like they also need to work from here, right? It's like not, do you know what I mean? Like there's just like so, it might as well be a WeWork on some level. So the solution that I have to that is that my backpack, my husband has also, my backpack is my mobile office, right? So like I don't have a desk that always sits out with all the stuff on it that then I sit down at when I want to work. The work happens wherever my backpack is, and wherever my backpack is, I unpack it. So in the backpack is everything that I need to work, everything. So it's like the char all the chargers that I need. It's the computer, the mouse, the earbuds, I don't know, like a phone charge, like basically everything. Like if I in 3 seconds had to go up from here and go, you know, go somewhere else and set up shop there to work. So like it's all there, right? And if my husband needs to work at home versus go and work at work, put it on the thing, he goes to the office and he unpacks it there. And so that means that right now I can be working at this
Interesting.
desk, and then at the end of the day when I need to sleep and turn my mind off, all the stuff goes away. And so, you
Yes.
know, like whoever's sleeping in this room doesn't need to look at my open computer or my mouse or mouse pad or whatever it is.
Interesting, yeah.
And it's all gone, right? So like when somebody's not working, there's no trace of it. So
Well,
your mind can relax. Or if somebody needs to use the counter, they can use the counter today because there isn't space here. Like that kind of like hot desk kind of mentality is really helpful, I find, like for you know, like for a family type of busy family type of thing.
Yes. And I think it seems to solve so many problems all in one kind of solution where you need the mobility, you need the ability to detach from work and kind of put it away and out of sight. You need to be able to like kind of jump from space to space within the
Yeah.
house
Yeah.
as well as take it to a cafe or something, right? Like,
Exactly.
yeah, that sounds like such a really smart way of doing it. Like your backpack as your mobile office.
Yeah, the backpack is the
That's pretty
office,
cool.
not the real estate, right? Like
Yes.
this area is a it's a nice place to sit, but it's not the office. And that's really important because anybody who has a home life scenario where they have to sleep near where they work, right? That
Yes.
is it's important to be able to put it away, right? And this applies, obviously, we're talking about people who work from a computer, right? Like if I was, do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like if I wasn't working from a com if I wasn't working from a computer, if I was like a jeweler, for example, then I would need, like a dedicated space for machinery. But like as long as you don't have machinery, then it worked. Or if your machinery is very small, it also
Yeah,
works,
I suppose so,
right? Yeah.
huh?
So yeah, with that caveat, yeah.
I would love the to know what the jeweler's mobile office and a
Right.
backpack would look like.
Well, I don't know
It's a
what their
funny thing.
backpack would look like because you need, I mean, I did a bunch of jewelry making in the past, but you need kind of equipment that even if it's small, it's sort of heavy. So like I have seen jeweler studios that are very small, like the size of like a, I don't know, 2 meter by 3 meter room, right? Or 2 meter by 2 meter room. You can have a whole jewelry making studio in there, but if you try to pack it all into one bag, it might be a little heavy. But yeah, I mean, space is a, space being at a premium is not a bad thing. You know what I mean? Like it's not necessarily bad. It keeps you light, keeps you mobile.
And I think there's some people who really thrive in that model of living. I think it's kind of common in urban settings. Like
Yeah.
our baby, her crib is in the closet in our place
There you
because
go.
that's where we got the space for it, you know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, and she loves it and it's highly functional for us, right? Like, so that's the kind of thing that I think a lot of folks who are in, I don't know, denser urban environments are used to that sort of stuff. And maybe even like, I don't know, that especially when I think about a lot of people in cities, there is the back against the wall, like, I don't know, push through kind of thing that is part of it. And I wonder if that actually, I don't know, this is just like a random thought, but actually the space premium, the kind of limitations that breed can, limitations that breed creativity, that sort of thing, like, is actually the environment that helps shape that mindset.
Interesting.
Yeah, fascinating. Well, you know, I'll figure that out, put a pin in that, and see if that's actually true or not. But
It's interesting to think about. I also think it's important just as a skill because more and more people will continue to live in cities, and cities are projected over the next 50 years to get more and more crowded. Like you and I, like our grandchildren, will live in spaces that our grandparents would have considered probably very tiny or, we'll have to make them much more multifunctional. That's the projection, right? So like that is the reality. Maybe not in certain places in the United States, which are already today like underpopulated, right? Like they might not get there soon, but it is kind of where the world is going, you know? So
Gosh, it'll be so interesting to
yeah.
watch. And then if internet connectivity is everywhere, then will people just want to go like be on a
Exactly.
beach in
Yeah.
some remote part of the world that nobody usually goes to, right? Like,
Yeah.
yeah, it's so
Yeah.
fascinating, well, to get to
Yeah.
watch.
Yeah. It's so interesting because it's social, right? It's the space, the physical space and the social space is an interesting way to think about your life, right? Like, being on that beach with a ton of space to sit with your laptop. Versus, hopping from country to country, right? Like, it's interesting to think about how our social lives and our spatial lives interact, and what are the different kind of zones and functions of each of them on that level, and which of those bring us joy, and what parts of them bring us joy, and like, what are the things we can do to nurture both of those types of things? So
Oh,
it's
that's
an
cool.
interesting question.
I'm interested in that for you. So, social life and a physical space, how do those collide for you, and what does it look like to set it up for joy, as you're describing?
Yeah. So, I think I mentioned this in you asked a question in this like preparation questionnaire that you sent me for this podcast, and you said like, what's the, is it a routine? No, it wasn't a routine. You asked about routines, and I said that I use Groove because that helps me organize my work life. And then you asked about a habit or a tip, or I can't remember what it was. And I said that it's the weekly Sabbath, because the Sabbath or Shabbat, if in the pronunciation that we use, is it's when the space becomes devoid of the work week. Like you turn off the work week completely. It's like an unplugging from all of your, you know, work stuff. And then it's plugging into a more social interactions. So you're, excuse my dog and my son yelling at the dog.
Yeah, close quarters, you know, with a pup too.
Yeah, so there funny. You go. Yeah, real noise. I won't mute it. Viewers can hear. So, and then another
proof
child
that
screaming
that
at
she
the other,
is actually living this life she's describing, right?
Yeah. It's real.
Yeah.
It is. So on Saturdays, essentially what is happening is that the same rooms that during the week, like I'm working at this table, my husband's working at that table. Now the backpacks are packed. Everything that's work supplies is away. Mm-hmm. Hidden, essentially. Like the backpacks are over there in the corner, no one's looking at them. All the phones are away and turned off, and we don't use them. And we are, you know, having lunch or dinner together, either just as a family or with our neighbors, and walking the dog or reading books. And it's like a cycle, right? So if you are in the habit of doing that every week, right, you really do learn to take all of the things in your space that signify your work life and just like pack them up and put them away. And now my head is somewhere else. And it gives me a number of things, right? It gives me an identity that is social and spatial and satisfying outside of work, right? Like, I think a lot of people have trouble unplugging, because it's not just about the unplugging, or sometimes it's not even just about an addiction to a screen. It's about, where's my identity gone when I don't have all of that?
This is
I have a whole self when I'm not on my digital devices, right? That's like a whole other life.
Yes.
Socially, spatially, mentally, emotionally.
I think what you're getting at is this really interesting contrast that I think I experience, I think a lot of people experience, which is we've got this like digital world overlay for a lot of life that is, you know, these days often the place where we work, the place where we socialize on social media, the place where we're entertained. You know, it's almost all interfaced through screens, sometimes through headphones, right? And then there's this other layer, which is this very, very physical space where we eat food and we give somebody a hug and we hear the dog barking and so on. And I could just totally see, as you're describing this Sabbath, like Shabbat practice, that being almost like moving from one world to the other, even though you're like always inhabiting the same space, but like, really, and I think it is interesting that you're using the word identity there, like having an identity in each, you know?
That's really, it's about time, right? That we recognize that, you know, there's been so much said about our online, each person's online presence, each person's online identity, right? Yeah. As if that was either your only one or your reflection of your only one, or that's where it's happening, right? But it's, Even if you're authentic on there, and even if you're not like performative, you know, distilling your whole identity to just being online, I don't think is like the healthiest. I don't think it's the healthiest practice. And I'm sure that a lot of your, you know, clients or listeners or whatever would agree with that. That's why they're putting effort into their homes and their spaces.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I think, because as much as like our online lives are valuable, and they bring a certain kind of joy and effectiveness in the world and so on, like there are also massive limits to them. And I think now bringing this back to the social layer to it, like even if, and I've made some fascinating, wonderful connections with people around the world through this podcast, through other means, you know, and everything, but none of them know, you know, what I smell like, what kind of, what I look like when I'm eating food, you know, like what, you know, just like these kinds of things that are just like, you know, like when I give a hug, like what is the force of that?
Right. And, yeah.
All of these things touch that are just smell. So, yeah, yeah. Very yeah. sensory and physical. And
yeah. yeah. I was going to say that like Groove gets pretty close because we show up there with messy hair and people show up in their, you know, pajama. I'll preface it just for the readers, the listeners. It's like, it's a virtual co-working space where you come in, each work session is an hour, which is off camera and off audio, but at the beginning there's a few minutes on video chat, and at the end there's a few minutes on video chat, and people really show up real. They show up really real. Like yeah. it's a place where, and I'm very grateful to, you know, to my co-founders and team that, you know, mm-hmm. we've been able to craft the community in this way, because I wouldn't have it any other way, right? Like I wouldn't want to yeah. show up to a place where I have to perform. And I want to show up to a place where people are going to accept me. And I want to show up to a place where I can, you know, be myself without kind of extra kind of effort that it takes to be yourself on social media. And you know, that means that aside from things like hugs, right, and aside from things like smell, you do kind yeah. of, you do really show up and you're like, I eat, people eat. Right, like yeah. we're drinking yeah. stuff. If it's, you know, if it's really early in the morning, or these bags under their eyes, and like no one minds, totally. Fine. And like people are in sometimes, you know, they're doing their hair, right, like in the thing, and it's like I think it's yeah. for me like the most important part about all of that is to do with this idea that like I think that for too long. Everybody in the working world has felt this pressure to like leave certain parts of them at certain parts of themselves at home, right? And then you show up to work just with the parts that are the most polished. They seem the most productive. They seem the most accomplished. They seem the most, you know, like you always have to know what you're doing at all times. You have to be performative with this like smile and everything. And I think that that's a, you know, The fact that we have to spend so much of our day with that kind of mask on is not a good thing. And I don't want my work environment or my social life to be like that. And so Groove, which is a social work environment, right? Like it's a co-working space. Mm-hmm. It's also social and it's also about productivity. You know, I wouldn't want it to be like that. So it's important for me to be designing so that people feel comfortable showing up as themselves, or, you know, showing up if their background is not perfect. There aren't any virtual backgrounds. You can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah. Sorry about that.
I love the mindfulness of the design and the sort of, the design of it, even like not allowing fake backgrounds, and how much that translates to the sort of culture and community that is established through these sort of design choices. I, as a person who's used Groove, like I think it's a really cool to hear like the backdrop of thought that went into what is the sort of productive online community that we want to create. And I guess just in case people don't know, it's worth like checking out groove.oo, I think it is the website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'll send a personal invite link as well. Like if I share my personal invite link, then whoever uses that link, they'll be connected to me so we can co-work together. So like, amazing. I'll give you that link.
I need to co-work with you real bad.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, totally. So, but basically like at least you're from a user's perspective, you log in and you, set up your goals for the day. And then you like go on to a quick little video call and you talk to a handful of people who are also working on whatever their goals are, and you set, have a quick chat, then you break out to go work on it for an hour, and then at the very end of it you come back on video and say how it went, and then you mm-hmm. can continue to keep grooving with these people and do more iterations of that or branch off and do whatever else you need to do. But and And it's been like a really cool way to think about co-work in a, you know, at least for me as a person who works independently and from home and misses coworkers. Like I love coworkers. I love relationship with people. So, yeah, like I guess just to kind of add context to people as they are listening to this about it, and totally worth checking out. Now I want to, if it's okay, I wanted to take this to in a different angle on home, and just hear a little bit about like what are the different places you've called home over the span of your life?
So I grew up in I was born in New York, and then my like really early childhood was a lot of flying back and forth between here and New York. Like before the age of five, like I was on a plane like all the time.
Wow.
My parents are physicists, and they were working here at a university for those years, and their parents were still back in the United States, so we did a lot of flying. And so as a child, obviously that affects your perception of like you, right? Like your home isn't necessarily your house. It's like the people that you're around. It's the people that you're
That's
with. It's
interesting.
like, you know, home maybe is a season, right? Like you associate home with many things, but not necessarily your own room or your own bed or like all these things. There was a time when we were when we my parents decided not to live in Israel anymore, to go back and permanently live in New York, where it's all like my mom's an immigrant herself. Like she's from Romania. She came with her family to Brooklyn, and so she has an idea of home, obviously, that's based on the immigrant experience. And so we made this transition where, when I was younger, we moved from here to living with my grandparents in Brooklyn for a few years. And there, for a time, we were all of us sleeping in one room because of the space and the layout, and because we were little kids and we didn't want to sleep somewhere else. And it was just like to kind of like think of an extended family living all together, grandparents, parents, young children. There weren't any dogs or cats involved, right? But like it's traditional, you know, like family kind of like structure, right? Where I didn't have my own room for a while. And then we moved out to Long Island, where I had my own room and my siblings had my room. And I remember the first night that we slept there, my siblings and I were so not used to that structure that we just all slept in one room. We were just like, we would just put three mattresses in one room and
So
slept in
funny.
the same room, because we were like, well, what do we do with all these rooms? What are we doing? Like,
That's so funny.
you're not used to it.
You're not even like, oh, finally, I get to have my own room. No,
Yeah, you're just like, what?
you're just,
This is weird.
this is weird that I have my own room. Like, why wouldn't I want to sleep in the same room as my siblings? That's so funny.
So it was a different kind of transition, right? Moving from the city to a suburb where now you have more space and you can kind of branch out. And I remember I started using the table in that room to set up like an art mini art studio, right? Like I had this thing on the wall that I could put cardboard up and draw on, you know, like an easel but attached to the wall. And I had a kind of table where I could spread out a big piece of paper. And I learned to spread out. Like when you have like right, like when you have more space, you learn to spread out. You have less space, you learn to like do all the kind of tips I'm giving now about like packing into backpacks and stuff, right? So it, you know, like the environment affects kind of like your, you know, your.
The skills you acquire, your mindset, like, and how you use space and all of it. That makes sense.
So that was interesting as a transition from like the city to the suburbs. And then, of course, after a few years, I moved back to Brooklyn and then to Manhattan, so more urban living after that, and then here to Jerusalem, which is a city. So I think I think of home more as the people than the place, you know? Like that's my feeling. That's like my approach.
And when you think of people, is that primarily family? Is it neighbors? Is it, yeah, family?
It's fa it's really family and neighbors. It's family, neighbors, now pets. And it's those relationships where you feel safe, I think, and that constitutes your home. It's also the taste of certain foods, right? Like the different areas that I've lived in, whether it's the lemon tree, like before we moved to this apartment, we were in a different apartment for 7 years, and the lemon trees downstairs that I would pick the lemons and pickle them and like preserve them like in salt and like use that and stuff. And so that's like a taste I associate with that home. Like I have tastes that I associate with like in the neighborhood in Brooklyn where I lived with my grandparents during that time. We lived there, the whole family. I have a lot of tastes associated with that neighborhood, and it factors in my artwork, which is a lot about memories and food, because that takes me back to a specific time and place. And home is also about, the things that people cooked for you, right? So I had one American grandmother and one Romanian grandmother. And so my memories of my American grandmother's home, it smells like lasagna, like that, like home has that smell. And my Romanian grandmother, like that home smells like chicken soup, like chicken noodle soup, like an old style chicken noodle soup. And so these things are, it's like, it's intertwined, the home and the smell and the food that you have there.
Absolutely, and I'm thinking of my Mexican grandmother's kitchen, and it smells like fresh made tortillas with butter on them. Like that's the
Wow.
smell.
That's the
And
smell, huh?
it's just such a cool thought. And I think totally worth like thinking about an angle that I haven't explored, which is like very much the relationship between food, because like we describe food in ways that use the word home often, like homemade, a home cooked meal, right? Like, and I think there is certainly this big connection between our conception of home and the food we eat, or even
Or who's
the
cooking
sense
it?
memories. If you were to, have somebody over for a meal and you want to serve up like a homemade, home-cooked thing, what's the recipe that comes to mind?
Oh, I can give you the recipe from this past Saturday. The not the recipe, the menu from this past Saturday.
Oh, cool.
Okay, so this past Saturday we had a really lovely family that lives in the neighborhood. It's somebody that my husband went to school with in England. My husband's British, so he went to school with her. It's a couple with 4 children. He went to school with her in England, lost touch for like 20 years, and then reconnected after we moved here, and they moved here.
Yeah.
So this is a really sweet family. We hadn't seen them in a really long time. I wanted to like have it be really nice. Also, my dad was visiting from New York, so it was like a whole crowd. This is like 13 people all together. Oh, and my mother-in-law was over as well. So
Great.
13 people. Yeah, that's something like 13 people.
And a
So,
dog, yeah.
and a dog, yeah. So what did we have? Okay, so we had I had just This is also like my most favorite recent tip. I ordered new Carell dishes on Amazon. I don't know how we all feel morally about Amazon, ethically about Amazon right now, but I ordered some Carell dishes on Amazon and they arrived and just in time for this meal, so I was really pleased. They have like a Spanish kind of tile print on them. Anyway, so the
Excellent.
meal was it was cold carrot soup, kind of like a vichyssoise but more spicy. It was cold salmon with dill. Those were the kind of like appetizers, and then we had a like a mezze spread of like salads. So what did I make? I made like spicy eggplant in paprika. I made sometimes I make hummus, and that is like nice. But in this meal, I didn't because one of the kids was allergic. That was over. And I made a green salad. I made a cauliflower salad with Greek yogurt and roasted onions. And I had what else did I have? I had those salads. I had some other just salads that I had made with stuff that was around. And then for the main course, we had a sweet potato quiche and lasagna, which is really nice. I was like spending the morning making lasagna. I make the sauce, and then put it all together in the oven. And we had, I don't know, I think maybe a green thing with it. some green roasted vegetable. I can't remember what we had with that.
As you're describing this, my mouth is watering and I'm just
I
like,
don't
oh my
remember. There
goodness,
was
I'm
like too many things for me to
so
remember that we
excited.
had. I just like
Yeah, that's quite the spread.
emptied the
That sounds
fridge, and then
incredible.
we had apple spice muffins for dessert, and I want to say honeydew melon, and then these like nice kind of ice pops that my husband bought for the kids that were like peach flavored.
So cool.
Yeah, and then tea and coffee, obviously.
That sounds so delightful and delicious to get to have that kind of feast with like a big group of people at home.
Yeah,
And
it was fun.
and it sounds like so that was on Saturday, you said, so it's part of your like Shabbat practice, like to be able to have the space
Yeah.
to like
Yeah.
get a good meal together like that and
Yeah.
so on. And that's so
Yeah.
cool.
Yeah. I mean, you don't really even need that much space. Like, people have the expectation when you invite them that they might have to crowd together, which I think is maybe something that I should like kind of give as a tip to like, let's say people who are living in the United States and they have a lot more space. And sometimes I've had friends that are like, oh, I can't have people over. I don't have enough space. I can't have people over. Like, there isn't enough space at the table. But I think once you do it, like it's just people realize how much fun it is to crowd together and kind of like eat together, even if somebody has to sit on a stool or sit with the food on their lap, or sometimes the kids kind of sit like you can like put out a little thing for them at the kitchen counter or the couch or whatever, and they don't have to sit with the adults at the table, and then they like it because it's fun to be by themselves. When the little kids, not the big kids, obviously the big kids get insulted if you do that, but
Sure.
I think kind of like it took me a while at least to like let down my expectations of like everybody has to have enough space, enough, like room to breathe and whatever. It's just more fun sometimes to have a crowded house than a spacious house in some regards.
That's cool. And I think one thing that people kind of long for is people to be close to, right?
Yeah.
And I think that actually translates to physical closeness
Yeah.
points, to be shoulder to shoulder with people, sitting right next to them, as you're eating your meal. And yeah, and it sounds intimate for that reason. It's amazing. So another question about your home. When home is going really great, what does that look like for you? How would you describe it?
I think, well, I think one thing that I really need to be better about is sleep, because I think that, I mean, when home is going really great, we have really nice meals like this, and I get to see people, and it's fun, and I'm productive at work, and it's all really great. I think that something that often gets shafted is that I just like there's just so much going on here that like I don't sleep enough. So if there's anything that like I have to, pay more attention to, or that I am paying attention to, but it's difficult to fix, is just like maybe turning everything off earlier in the nighttime. So that I will have a better day the next day,
Sure.
So I guess I'm just reminding myself as you're asking the question, it's like that's something I have to be better about.
So part of like home going well for you in a way that helps you, it does look like powering down the
Yeah.
screens and devices and lighting the candle and what have you like at night instead. That makes a lot of sense to me. As
Yeah.
somebody who recently we've been watching The Bachelorette, I just finished that, but we're behind, and it's just like, oh yeah, we've been watching that like every night because we're running behind, and we just stay up late until we're like falling asleep, and then whatever. So, and I can feel it wearing on my sleep, and
Yeah, it
all of
does.
that. Yeah, so I
It
can
really
relate
does.
very much. Well, Tova, this has been a really fun conversation, and I love like every chance I get to chat with you. And I guess one final question for you. If you were to like kind of give a tip or suggestion or recommendation for a thing that you think would be really helpful to improve people's quality of life at home, what would you recommend?
I think that people most of the time they forget the basics. Like, I think that somebody who's even myself, I often forget the basics because you spend so much time in your home or because you take it for granted for whatever reason, it's like, to use like a design term, right? Like banner blindness, right? That's like, banner blindness is like when you look at, like, you know, you're looking at a website, you're looking at a screen, and there's always an ad in the same place. And so because you see the ad in the same place, after a while, you don't see any ads. You just kind of blank it out.
Yes.
So I think a lot of our homes are like that, myself included, that like you're so used to doing something the same way that you never think about it doing it differently, or you're so used to taking it for granted because you've lived in there for so long that you just never think about changing something, or it's not even that you don't even think about changes. It's like in your home, sometimes we're prone to take something so for granted to the level where like we're not even conscious of what we're doing anymore. That's why so many people's bad habits happen at home, right? Like how many bad habits happen in the coffee shop or at work or at a party, right? Like comparatively few. And it's like, it's because people are at home are like going into autopilot. And I think that the most basic thing that people can do at home is just to start appreciating it more for whatever it is that you have. And like, you know, taking the time to just look critically rather than just crashing there. Right. Like coming home and crash, but like maybe come home and just be a little bit of more consciousness around like, you know, why am I crashing? What am I really looking for to get out of here when I walk in the door? Like, what is really going on when I feel like I need to open the fridge 50 times? Or what is really going on when I can't fall asleep? Or what is really, like, what am I really doing here, right? Like, people have these thoughts when they go to an office or they go to a library or they go to visit their friends. They're hyper aware of their surroundings. They're like, oh, what is this? What am I looking at? What am I doing? But at home, you never have those things, and it like sets sometimes people up for either bad habits or just you know, stupid habits, or not being able to know where to put stuff or what to do in the place. And, you know, and that's I think that is better advice to give than, you know, to somebody who's looking, than to be like, oh, look for design inspiration, or you know what I mean.
sure,
kind of stuff.
Let your home be unfamiliar to you again,
right?
You know, and like get to know it and get to know yourself in it.
Right.
I think that's like, that's such a great, like a shift of perspective that I think a person could take. And I'm going to have to try that out. Have a conversation with my wife about that, because that sounds really handy to think, oh, not like, oh, we've got this house, we know how it works. Like it's all.
Yeah. Imagine you just moved in.
What's that?
Imagine you just moved in.
Yeah. That's a good way to do it. Oh, imagine you just, that's a great thought project for anybody for their home.
Right.
I love it. Well, thank you, Tova, for that insight and the many other things that you shared with us. So would you tell us a little bit about, just as we're kind of finally wrapping up here, the sort of things that you're working on these days and how people could be connected to you if they want to stay in touch?
Yeah, it's really simple. Come and co-work with me. We spoke a little bit about Groove earlier and you explained what it is. It's a, you know, instead of going to like a WeWork or, you know, even at a WeWork or days when you don't go to a co-working space or really anybody who works from home for any length of time, it's helpful to be able to have extra accountability or social interactions, that keep you productive. So you, go on the app and you join or start a co-working session that lasts an hour. And you just get that extra push from other people and you just get a lot more done that way. And so I would invite anyone to come and co-work with me. I'll give my personal link. You can post it in the show notes. And yeah, I'd love to see you around.
That'd be amazing. Well, I'll make sure to include a link to that in the companion blog post for this episode. You can find it in the show notes. And yeah, thank you, Tova, for being such an awesome guest. I always love it. Any chance I get to chat with you.
This was so fun. Thank you so much for having me. And this is such a great topic. And I think you're one of the people who really speaks about it in depth. So I really appreciate having the chance to, you know, have this exploration.
Ah, thank you. I appreciate that. I enjoy doing the work. You know, it's like, it means a lot to me to consider home and do it in a way that will help other people really meaningfully consider their homes as well. So yeah, thank you for coming on. And thank you everybody for listening. This has been another episode of Home Life for Extraordinary Impact. I hope you enjoyed it. And until next time. Thanks for listening to Home Life for Extraordinary Impact. I hope you enjoyed listening as much as I enjoyed putting it together for you. Please take a moment to rate it, like it, and subscribe wherever you have listened or watched. Home Life for Extraordinary Impact is a project of Home Life Design Lab. Go to homelifedesignlab.com to sign up for the newsletter or to follow the Instagram. Thanks.